It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Here's the pitch. Fastball shot back up the middle. Base hit into center field. DeJong rounds third. He charges in to score standing. Michael Massey delivers a hit with a runner in scoring position. And the Royals tie the game in one in the bottom of the fourth.
What a time to be alive. All of your Kansas City sports is here on an FM dial on 96.5 The Fan. You are listening to Fesco and Dusty. I'm Dusty Likens. That is Bob Fesco and our executive producer, Mac Morey, in the house with you today. What a great time to be alive. Royals in the win streak. Chiefs are going for a three-peat. All in Kansas City, and it all happens in 24 hours, and people will say to the Royals, take a back seat. I say, let me talk to you. Because there is no back seat. It's all front seat drivers right now as the Royals took care of business. They ended the losing streak last night. Tommy Pham hits the three-run homer in the fourth inning to go up 4-1.
Huge home run.
And everything seemed to be a little bit more easy last night after the Royals win because every single team of interest lost.
Yeah.
You beat Cleveland. Minnesota lost. Detroit lost. Boston lost. And now you're tied in second place of the division, tied in second place of the wild card, and you have a five-game lead over everybody else that's trying to get into the playoffs. The boys will be playing some ball in October.
No, they're going to the playoffs. Anybody who doesn't believe that now, I think you're kind of out of your mind a little bit because these other teams have given the Royals the open door, and now the Royals can take advantage of a bad Minnesota Twins team coming in, and they are. They're not playing good baseball. I've watched them the last three nights, man. They are not playing good baseball right now. Detroit, I don't know enough about. Again, they're on the West Coast right now, so I haven't had an opportunity to really dial into what they're doing, but from my standpoint, they're playing the hottest baseball right now, and they're really the only team that kind of concerns me the rest of the way for the Royals. I think Boston is a dead stick. I think Seattle's just kind of there, and they're going to be ultimately a dead stick. They had to fire their manager a few weeks ago. I'm not bought into what the Twins are doing right now. And so Detroit right now, I think, is playing some good baseball. The schedule lends itself to Detroit a little bit more than it does to the Royals because I think they still have the White Sox a few more times, you know, on that schedule. And the Royals, I mean, the Royals don't have an easy road ahead. I mean, I know the Twins, like I said, are a dead stick, but it's still a team that's ahead of you in the standings coming in. Then you got to go to New York. Then you get a little bit of a breather in Pittsburgh, but then you come back and it's against Detroit. You've got three games against the Tigers beginning a week from Monday that I think is going to have a big impact on where things go. But I do believe this team is going to the playoffs. I mean, I got to bet on them to win the division still. So that's still a possibility because Cleveland lost last night and they were kind of riding high. But for 2 weeks, I've been listening to them complain about having to go to LA this late in the season and what a bad road trip this is going to be. And so if that's in their mindset and they can't get over the fact that they have to go out to LA this late in the season and fly all the way out there, and they did last night, leaving like 11 o'clock at night, flying all night to get to Los Angeles. Like I just look at a Cleveland team that could be already mentally checked out because they had to go to LA and play these games. There's a golden opportunity still here for this Royals team to win the division. And when you let a team hang around like the rest of the league did over the last week, when the Royals were losing games and kind of sulking over the loss of Vinny Pasquantino and whatnot, you let them hang around. They gained confidence last night, fellas. And I'm going to tell you what, they're going to see what happens at Arrowhead tonight, and they're going to feed off of that. And I remember a couple of years ago talking with a couple of the guys at the game that were playing for the Royals at the time. And I said, look, it wasn't that long ago that you guys were the talk of the town. You guys were the toast of Kansas City. And now, obviously, you got to get back to your winning ways. I said, look what's going on here at Arrowhead. Don't you guys want this at Kauffman Stadium? They're like, yeah, we want to get this kind of atmosphere over there. So tonight's going to be big. Bobby Witt and Salvi, I'm sure a lot of the guys, Q, will talk to him at 9 o'clock. He may be at the game. We'll find out who's all going and whatnot coming up in less than an hour with the skipper of the Royals. But there's going to be guys from that organization inside that stadium tonight. They're going to see that banner fall. They're going to see that crowd erupt, and they're going to go, okay, we're this close to doing this across the street. Mm-hmm. Look at what's going on right now. We want this. And that's how the Chiefs got this whole thing jump-started. The Royals won the World Series, and Andy Reid was sitting in his office with Brett Veach, and the fireworks were going off, and the city was alive, and everybody was excited. And Andy looked at Brett and said, damn, everywhere we go, the baseball team wins championships and we don't. It's time we start doing something. And because of that 2015 Royals team, mm-hmm. here we sit today with the Kansas City Chiefs. And I'm hoping it has the reverse effect on the Royals, where they go into that building tonight. They see what happened. They're feeling good off of that win. They know that they're still alive. They're not going to let the loss of Vinny Pasquantino derail this season. And they take off from here. I think tonight's going to be a big moment for this Royals baseball team.
And the team and their best player, and maybe one of the best players, if not the best player in baseball, has already got October on his mind, because better now than then.
We lost yesterday, move on today, and move forward. You can't really think about that. A lot of teams go through this, and so people are really kind of, people say, oh, wow, this is a big deal, but really it's just kind of rather do it now than do it when we get into October. So now we just got to learn from it and move on.
No doubt about it. I was playing golf yesterday with the fans of the show the old number fives. I was with Brock and Watson. His name's Adam Watson.
Adam Watson, yeah.
And then a new friend of mine.
He thinks the Watson drop is his.
It should be. Played golf with him. Shout out to those guys yesterday. We had a good round. Turk, Watson, and Brock had a great time with them. But Watson, they were even asking yesterday.
Turk, Brock, and who did you say?
Watson.
Watson, yes!
And we were talking, and they were like, Dusty, just, you know, tell us right now. They're going to be fine. They're going to win tonight. They got Lugo on the mound. They're not going to lose 8 in a row. And they went out there, and they looked like a completely different team, and Lugo was the ace you needed to be, and that there is the confidence you need to see moving forward in a big must-win game. And you hear the audio from Bobby Witt Jr., that's what you want to see moving forward with this team. They're not worried about 7 in a row. Rather lose it now than obviously lose, you know, 2 straight in the wild card round and be bounced. They're focused on October. They're focused on a long October, and that gives the city a reason to be focused on a blue October.
Well, and also, too, that's what veterans do for your team. That's why it was so important to go out and get a guy like Seth Lugo, somebody that has that experience, that like when it's time to step up and be a guy that, you know, can go out and stop a losing streak. Seth Lugo's been that. He's been that guy all year long for this team. And I know a lot of people were questioning the innings and all that stuff adding up. Lugo looked as sharp and as fresh as he's looked at a long time last night. And then you go add the bat of Tommy Pham into the lineup. That's a veteran at the top of your lineup that came through when you needed him most. And the Tommy Pham signing, however you want to call it, you know, you didn't give up anything for Tommy Pham. All you did was sign him for the rest of the season for the prorated portion of the veteran minimum, which is like, you know, 2 cents on the dollar now.
Right.
So you go get Tommy Pham, you bring him in here, he's already paid dividends for you. He's already done what you needed him to do, and he gave you that jolt. Now, it does suck to have an off day because you want to keep that momentum going, but you have that off day, you got to take it for what it's worth, enjoy the off day, and then get ready to take on the Twins, because the rest of the season starts now and everything gets magnified. Now we're starting to get into that kind of that late season, mid-September, you know, type of season where everything gets turned up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I'm not one of these get the losses out of your system, but I'll say it now. Maybe they got those losses out of their system and they're going to find a way to bounce back from this. It'll be fun to talk to Q coming up at 9 o'clock this morning to kind of get his read on where his team was right now and what kind of sigh of relief these guys let out last night getting that win too.
And you'll know when Q joins the show, because that wonderful jingle by the old number fives will play. But coming up on the other side, we will get into, well, I guess we don't really worry about it, but there's still that Taylor Swift hate. Bring it on. Embrace the haters. Not only that, we'll talk to Nate Taylor, who is a lover, not a hater. He'll join us on Dusty Fesco, Fesco and Dusty, Mac and Fesco. How about we call it Mac and Fesco the rest of the day?
How about we call it Mac and Cheese?
Ooh, I like that. Mac and Cheese. Two Cheese Richards and Mac on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Jackson, quick snap again. Chiefs trying to push the pocket. Jackson throws deep middle for the end zone. Intercepted! Intercepted in the end zone! Intercepted by Deion Bush! Back-to-back turnovers in the end zone by the Baltimore Ravens! Deion Bush with the interception. The old Wiley special teams dude gets a pick, and Jackson makes a mistake throwing into the teeth of the Chiefs coverage.
That played out pretty well. That's because of our executive producer, Mac Morey, here yeah. on Mac and Fesco.
I like that.
I am Dusty Likens. Happy to be along for the ride. Chiefs go for their three-peat tonight. The NFL story is already exciting. Lamar Jackson versus Patrick Mahomes.
You think anybody's passed out yet in line waiting to get in from too much booze?
I've already almost passed out just doing the show, and we still have another hour and 45 minutes to go.
I always wonder, you're in line already. Do you make it inside to see the game?
Yeah, I think you got to be a little bit professional.
How do you pace yourself in a situation? Because what else is there to do?
Yeah, we got, what, 11 hours?
I don't know. I would just take my Blackstone and camp out and have breakfast, have a couple of mimosas, go into my nice, rich, and fancy Chiefs bus, maybe take a nap.
You could
don't
nap
hate that. In there, yeah. You know?
Hey, Ralph, install some beds in that bus in case we have to do this one time.
Hell, I'll throw a damn air mattress on the floor and sleep on that thing.
You could put those beds up high, kind of like right. You know, like those sleeping, you know, quarters on buses and whatnot. You kind of crawl up and get into one of those things. Maybe we could do. I like that.
To give a peek behind the curtain here of what we do on Fesco and Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan, we like to have post-production meetings about what is a talking point, what is not. And we got to the discussion is locally, is Taylor Swift a big topic with the Chiefs? Obviously, she's going to be there tonight. And some hard-hitting news from the New York Times. Taylor Swift is expected to attend tonight's Chiefs season opener game
at
Arrowhead.
The New York Times has this.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The Chiefs and their security team have been prepping for this or preparing for this. Swift will be one of the stars tonight, and she is expected to be on the one of the main storylines. Really groundbreaking news. Really groundbreaking news. But, and Peter Schrager looks like somebody's stepdad who's now a Chiefs fan again.
He looks like, and I'm going to say this.
Looks like he's late for soccer practice to pick up a kid that he didn't create.
No, he looks like a KU basketball fan that just went to work and threw the basketball jersey over their button down.
But he had the Jets as the number one seed 2 days ago. Now
right,
he's got
now
the
he's
Chiefs
got the
winning
Chiefs
the whole
Super Bowl. Yeah.
Ugh. I don't think
pick
it is
a team, Schrags.
Yeah, and I don't think, I know that we've seen the storylines of, oh, she's going to be there, you know, every single game. Obviously, the relationship has elevated another level in their relationship, which is none of our business, but they are very two polarizing superstars in the world today. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, going to be there. Going to have fun. I've already seen memes. It's like all different pictures of we're so happy that you are back. And then in the middle, it says not you, and it's Taylor Swift. I love it. Because everybody has to find something to hate, and they can't hate Travis Kelce. They can't hate Patrick Mahomes. So they choose the pop icon that was a Chiefs fan last year because of the guy she dated. And even Nate Burleson is out there who's great at his job, and he does the same thing and just says, just relax.
And for all you guys that are in your feelings, give me my
take
camera.
Several seats.
Get the Nate cam.
Get out of your feelings. Oh,
sit
you
down.
Upset? You're a little mad because Taylor Swift is in the promo? Who cares?
Yeah. Okay. Nobody, Nate.
Wipe the drool off your tank top and put some pants on and get out your mama's basement.
Preach, Nate. Preach.
Whoa.
Keep going.
I don't understand what the big deal
keep
is. All right, every other sport can show celebrities at their games. We show Taylor Swift.
No problem.
You get in your feels.
Yes.
And get out of your feelings,
that's
man,
right.
And watch the game.
God, I love Nate Burleson, man.
So good. It's like he channeled his inner me.
Mm-hmm.
Are they speaking directly to Tony Dungy or to anybody else that happens to be?
Just like, in general.
I just don't understand why people care, right? Like, why people care if they show Taylor Swift on TV. How does that take away from the enjoyment of the NFL? In fact, I've talked about it numerous times, how it's increased the enjoyment for the NFL in our household. You know, I've got two daughters. One likes the Chiefs. Chiefs and likes watching football. The other is all about the TikTok and all that kind of stuff. But now she's dialed in because she wants to see Taylor Swift, right?
Right.
It has caused me to listen to Taylor Swift music, to have that bond with my daughters that I didn't have a year ago. And so I really love the Taylor Swift effect here in Kansas City. And she's such a good, genuine human being as well, too, right? Like, she is just awesome. And it's like the perfect fairy tale kind of relationship where you got this tight end in Kansas City who's kind of becoming a star and, you know, uses the friendship bracelets, the whole, like, he's just played the, it's great. Like, I just don't understand why people do get upset about that. And how many people are going to be complaining on X from their mother's basement, drooling on their tank tops, right, as Nate said, by complaining about Taylor Swift being shown at the game tonight? Look, if you don't like the fact that Taylor Swift is shown on the game, probably shouldn't watch the game, because when she's there, they're going to show it, because she has increased the Chiefs fandom by 30% worldwide and at home as well. She has brought attention to the National Football League that they could never have amassed themselves by playing games overseas. She's been one of the greatest things to happen to this league,
right,
one of the greatest things to happen to Kansas City, and I love every moment of it, and I thank her for being part of what we have here in Kansas City.
Also, big business knows big business, and if you don't think the NFL is going to lean into it, don't blame the Chiefs. Don't blame the Kansas City talk show sports host. Don't blame the players that play the game. Don't blame the guy that dates her. Blame the NFL. You can't blame the Kansas City Chiefs. She just so happens to be in love with the guy that plays for the Kansas City Chiefs. If she was in love with the guy that played for the, I don't know, Carolina Panthers, I know they're not, right, a great team, but I guarantee you they would be showing Taylor Swift. And not only that, it's just, it's jealousy. And jealousy is love disguised by hate.
Yeah.
And if they can't hate you because they can't beat you, they'll hate you and make up stories like, oh, there's a rumor they're going to break up, blah, blah, blah. And then it comes out, that's all false.
Yeah, they're suing those people.
Good.
Like, that's how bad a rumor
Good.
It was. Like, lawyers are now involved with this.
And that's all it is. And the text line comes in, she's a fan, leave her alone. No doubt.
No doubt.
It makes me so happy how much it makes these grown men groan and cry harder. It's awesome.
That's where I am,
right,
too. I love it. I love to see alpha male, the you know, the old 6'10 alpha male that we used to talk about.
Right.
The 96.5 the fan alpha male, or whatever alpha males out there, that gets so upset because Taylor Swift is part of what's going on. And, you know, is Tony Dungy still part of NBC, or do they fire him?
No,
he stinks at his job. I hope he has some, you know, strange rant tonight about Taylor Swift where he complains about it again. That will be the icing on the cake if Tony Dungy's out here complaining about Taylor Swift again.
It is opening night in the NFL. The Chiefs will host the Ravens. Taylor Swift will be there, like it or not. She's going to be there, red lipstick, Travis Kelce, some sort of Chiefs jersey on. Nate Burleson just gave us a great insight of what people say, how they complain. I just simply don't care.
Yeah.
And I think it's awesome when people like you who have daughters who are like in tune to the Chiefs, like, my dad, it's his job. Like, we watch it. But now it's more so like, when's Taylor going to be shown? And you're like, you know what? This is a fan base growing. These are people trying to get involved.
Yep.
Yes, the Chiefs are here. Yes, Dad talks about the Chiefs. But also, I enjoy it now, too, because somebody that I admire is also in the suite watching the same team that I'm now watching, and I feel that as well.
Yeah, I mean, and that's really the cool thing about it is that she has brought a totally different group of fans to Kansas City to be part of this, to watch this. And the more people that can enjoy Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Andy Reid before this thing is all said and done, the better it is, man. It's just a lot of fun. This is what happens when you're the biggest thing going in American professional sports today. You know, 10 years ago, people begged for this kind of stuff here.
Right.
Right. Now we got it and people are complaining, you know, and I don't think that the complaints are coming from Kansas City. Again, I think they're coming from people like Tony Dungy and people on the outside that are just so jealous of what's going on here in Kansas City. They just don't know what to do.
And if you thought your life was calm and cool and collected, it is now not. It is hectic season, and it begins now, not just for the Chiefs and the Ravens and the NFL. It begins for all the guys that do the hard work, including Nate Taylor, who is now, well, speaking of hard work, Nate, I've been that way since 6 o'clock this morning. How are you doing today, sir, Mr. Nate Taylor, The Athletic?
I'm doing well. I've survived the off season. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go, fellas.
Are you out there in line right now, Nate, waiting to get in and getting your tailgate on, or is it a little bit too early for you?
It's a little too early. You know, I'm just happy that my son is is in school.
Yep.
You know, did a nice little drop off this morning. But no, I'm doing great. It's very exciting to understand that. Yeah, as you guys are talking about, just the buzz, the excitement, the fact that, you know, the Chiefs are going to try to do something that's, you know, never been done. It's very unprecedented for a team to, you know, I think be this talented, this, you know, have this much continuity as a back-to-back champion. And oh, by the way, like, for the most part, everybody is still in their collective primes. So yeah, man, who knows how the season's going to go, but it's amazing that we get to watch this team and the Baltimore Ravens again, another very good opponent, open up the NFL season.
Yeah, I saw a stat the other day. The Chiefs are like the fifth youngest roster in the NFL, which just blew my mind. Also, we are talking to Nate Taylor, presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. Nate Taylor, I bring this up because I'm interested to know what you are interested to see the most. Like, does the defense not miss a beat, or does the offense take that next level with the additions they've made in the offseason?
Yeah, I think I'm, at least for tonight, more interested in seeing the offense. You know, there's been so much, I think, positive, you know, news that has happened with the offense, especially since training camp, right? When you actually know how the team looks, you've seen them consistently over, you know, a month long in pads. But, you know, much of this season really does come down to, hey, can this pair of rookies in Xavier Worthy and Kingsley Suamataia elevate not just the floor of what the offense can do, but just can this be a top, you know, five, top 10 offense? Because as you're mentioning, Dusty, not only are they young, but they actually, you know, really tried, and so far it seems, again, we'll get the first real look tonight, but it seems like they really did try to fulfill their biggest needs on offense, which is having a legitimate deep threat receiver, someone who's young, who can obviously give you some more explosiveness, and a left tackle who's, you know, more athletic, who's got, you know, a pretty good pedigree himself in Suamataia, and then also can continue to grow and develop throughout the rest of the prime years of Patrick Mahomes. So it's nice that everybody is healthy except for Hollywood Brown. Of course, we knew he wasn't going to play after the preseason opener. But, man, if these two rookies can play well or be really good contributors, I have, you know, a lot of faith that, hey, Travis Kelce is going to be great again because he's healthy and he's Travis Kelce. Like, Isaiah Pacheco should be a 1,000-yard rusher. Rashee Rice, as I wrote in The Athletic, is prime to have a excellent second season just because you can definitely see how he's developed from year one to year two. So with all those things combined and surrounding Patrick Mahomes, this offense can get back to being explosive. And let's say if they score 30 points tonight, then it sort of changes the expectations of the offense, but just how, you know, talented this team can be in terms of sort of reminding everybody in the league that last year was kind of a fluke on offense, because they've definitely made the necessary upgrades.
Yeah, I feel like Nate Taylor, the first play tonight, 75-yard Xavier Worthy, we're back, message sent to the rest of the NFL, and the rest of the league goes, oh, God.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be amazing, Bob? I mean, I just can't imagine what kind of route they're going to ask Xavier Worthy to run, right? Whether it's a double move or, you know, a straight go route, off play action. You know, I think the Ravens are in like the worst predicament. It's like, hey, that guy in Travis Kelce kind of terrorized us last year. And Rashee Rice, as I mentioned earlier, is like really good. Do you blitz? Do you try to play back? I would recommend that the Ravens not try to play a lot of man to man coverage, at least to start the game, because to your point, Bob, we all know that this is what Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Matt Nagy want. They want to show everyone that, man, if we can hit Xavier Worthy one time down the field, who knows, maybe even for a touchdown, then it does put the rest of the league on notice, because how in the world do you defend them if all these players are going to stay healthy over the course of the season and you're going to add Hollywood Brown into the mix, whether that's in week two or in week three? It's not been a long. Honestly, I think for the offense, there hasn't been this much unknown excitement or the possibilities of how it could all come together, I should say, since 2018, when Mahomes, you know, was the first time, you know, legit starter for the offense, and he had Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, of course, and Kareem Hunt at the time. So it's possible that the Chiefs now have five legitimate, reliable offensive weapons. And with Mahomes having the maturity and all the years of experience behind him, that is a recipe for no defense to really have quite the correct answer that they had last year, where everything felt like a slog, like a struggle for the offense to move the ball down the field.
Yeah, I look at this game to look on the other side of the field, Nate, as we're talking to Nate Taylor, The Athletic, here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Got to be fair, got to look at the other side of the field. I'm interested to see tonight, Nate, how they use the split backs between, like, what's the role of Derrick Henry with Justice Hill back there as well, and then also if Justin Tucker learned his lesson, if he's going to, you know, piddle-paddle around Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes again.
Hey, Justin.
Please.
I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to see you. Don't do anything. Like, what, guys, it was hilarious and also crazy last year that Justin Tucker is one of the most respected players in the league, right? Like, he's going to go in the Hall of Fame. He's already been a Super Bowl champion. And why are you angry? Why are you making Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes angry? Why are you getting in the way of their pregame routine? And then, of course, the Chiefs go right down the field and score a touchdown to start the AFC Championship game. So I don't want to hear anything from Justin Tucker. I hope he learned his lesson. But for the defense, yeah, you know they're going to want to run the ball. I think Baltimore is going to try to make a pretty big statement, right? If we think the Chiefs want to throw the ball deep, we must assume that the Baltimore Ravens are like, you know what? We didn't have the best game plan. We didn't really adjust the best way in January during the AFC Championship game. So, hey, look at Derrick Henry. What if we just hand him the ball 20 times a game? How many RPOs where the defense has to decide who's taking the ball? Is it Lamar Jackson, who's obviously elite in terms of athleticism and elusiveness? Or is it going to be this battering ram that's fully healthy in Derrick Henry? One of the more fascinating parts of the season is, can Derrick Henry, you know, stand up? Can he withstand, you know, an entire season where the Ravens are going to use him probably more than the Tennessee Titans did last year, right? And it's not like Derrick Henry is, you know, 25 anymore. So at least for tonight, this is the best example of what the Ravens can do on offense. And it really does come down to what Nick Bolton told me, guys, in the locker room. It's about tackling. It's about not getting pushed around from the line of scrimmage. And can you eliminate explosive plays, right? Whether that's Lamar throwing the ball over the top, or obviously, you know, scrambling and extending the play, or, you know, don't let Derrick Henry get into a rhythm early. So it would behoove the offense to get a lead and see if the Ravens are really about what they're trying to be this season, which is, hey, if we get down 10 points, we're not just going to immediately abandon the run. We still have Derrick Henry, but at the same time, you got to tackle that man. And it'll be a pretty interesting test for guys like, you know, Drew Tranquil, Leo Chenal, obviously Nick Bolton as well, but even someone like Jaden Hicks, right? The rookie sensation from the preseason. Like, I think he's going to play a decent amount of snaps alongside Brian Cook and Justin Reed. So if you can contain this running game, then you'll have a much better chance of winning. But I do think Baltimore is going to enter Arrowhead Stadium saying Derrick Henry must touch the ball 15 to 20 times, because they didn't have a running back as talented as he is during last year's AFC Championship game.
Nate Taylor, The Athletic, here on 96.5 The Fan. I don't know why I keep doing that. Here's the question I want to know from your standpoint. A year ago, we didn't have Chris Jones. This year, we do have Chris Jones on opening night. How big a season, how big a moment is this going to be for Chris Jones?
That's a great point, Bob. I think for this game, Chris Jones kind of wants to remove the absolute nonsense that was the ongoing saga of his holdout, right? The fact that he was at Arrowhead last year, watching his teammates, which again, as I say that out loud, I'm just like, I'm befuddled. I can't believe that really happened. You know, he was sitting between his two agents. Ultimately, things got handled. But it was an embarrassing moment because that was our first glimpse that, hey, the Chiefs defense, even without Chris Jones, pretty good against, you know, a team that ultimately went to the NFC Championship game last year in the Detroit Lions. So if he can...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Make his presence be felt. If he can obviously pressure Lamar Jackson, I think he's going to be rushing from the interior. I think he's going to have a couple snaps from the edge just to test those tackles and just see how Lamar handles the protections in terms of, hey, how do I slide the offensive lineman to wherever Chris Jones is? He's their best defensive player, and they didn't have him last year, and they only gave up 14 points. I know they lost 21-20, but we all must remember that Kadarius Toney literally handed the Lions a touchdown.
Right.
So, you know, there's a chance that, man, because he's went through a training camp, because he is healthy, the contract situation is no longer an issue, he can have a pretty great night. I want to remind people that, you know, not having training camp, basically, like, you know, joining the team in week two, had an amazing game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So it's definitely clear that in big games against big opponents, Chris Jones obviously sort of meets the moment. He's proven that over the course of the year. And I think if he has a great game tonight, it significantly puts last year in the rearview mirror. It also helps that they won a Super Bowl and he obviously, you know, signed a 5-year contract to remain with the team. But that is one of the biggest blemishes in his career, is that he allowed his contract negotiation to go that long to where he kind of, you know, strained the relationship between him and the organization. Mm-hmm. So if you come back a year later and you also have Travis Kelce healthy, you just kind of want to remind everybody that you're the dominant force. And, hey, I just signed this great big contract. I'm the highest paid player in my position. And here's why. Because Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens could not get into rhythm because I exist and I terrorize, you know, offensive linemen.
Yeah, Nate, sticking with the defense, we saw last year in the AFC Championship matchup, just a little bit of hesitancy with Lamar Jackson running the football. We've heard rumors about how that may change, how he may be running less schematic runs, but more just kind of out of passing, out of structure running. Do you think that the Chiefs defense, with the loss of Willie Gay, he was kind of a big mobile linebacker for them stopping those mobile running quarterbacks. Do you think that's going to be a problem here tonight?
It definitely could be. Kind of to your point, like, if people forget, there was one play last year in the championship game where Steve Spagnuolo calls this great blitz, right? And Leo Chenault is dead to rights on Lamar Jackson. And then Lamar just kind of, you know, ducks under him, you know, scrambles around. And Zay Flowers is wide open for a touchdown pass. So they don't have someone like Willie Gay, who didn't even play in the championship game last year. And, you know, I don't think he's going to ask the same things out of Leo Chenault. Like, hey, I don't think we want him in space with Lamar Jackson. So I don't know if this is going to happen, fellas. But I do get the sense, hey, you would like Justin Reed to be in the box, right, because of the Derrick Henry element. It's great that Brian Cook is back. He's healthy. You know, he's going to play in this game as your deep safety. He was not available during the back half of last season due to that ankle injury. So now, see ball, get ball might be Jaden Hicks, maybe. It makes the assignment pretty simple for a rookie. Hey, man, don't let that guy run by you. Or just make sure that he knows that you're there if he does decide to scramble, if he does decide to, you know, try to make a splash play by looking downfield, seeing if it's man coverage, and then getting out and going. So, again, I don't know if Steve Spagnuolo is going to do that, but I do think the Chiefs want to use Jaden Hicks. And as we saw in the preseason, again, it's the preseason.
Sure.
Jaden Hicks is a really good tackler. He's very physical, and he does have decent amount of speed for a player that's young. I don't know if the Chiefs have any other player. I mean, I wouldn't ask this of Nick Bolton. I wouldn't necessarily ask it of Drew Tranquil. So if you're looking for someone young and athletic who can maybe, you know, be in the area if Lamar Jackson scrambles, if you want to use him as a spy, maybe it simplifies the game for Jaden Hicks to just say, hey, man, just don't let eight, you know, absolutely gash us with his legs. I wonder if that's a certain element that was not in the game plan last year because they did not have a player specifically like Jaden Hicks.
Nate, we appreciate it. It's going to be a fun one tonight. Everybody gets to get the game in under our belt and relax for the weekend, and then we gear up for Cincinnati. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you so much. And, yeah, I can't wait to not move from my couch on Sunday. It's going to be absolutely amazing.
Oh, by the way, your wife just texted, and she said you guys are going to the pumpkin patch on Saturday or Sunday, so be ready for that. Got to take family pictures.
That's right.
It's fall. Get your plaid on.
Take care, Nate. Enjoy the week and enjoy the weekend as well.
Yes, you too. You too. Thank you.
There you go. Gosh, what a genuine laugh and a genuine guy.
Yeah.
Speaking of non-genuine guys, has a terrible laugh. Chris Sims. I'll explain why I say that on the other side. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey. This is Fesco and Dusty, your home for Kansas City sports. Chiefs pregame show tonight starting at 4 o'clock on this very station. Mitch, Dane, and Josh, all of them there in the flesh with their voice over your airwaves on the FM dial on 96.5 The Fan. I am fully there, and I'm ready to go.
Art Haynes back with the pregame, postgame, all that stuff. Binkley doing a college football segment. Dan Israel, like the whole nine yards, baby. Football season is back.
And it wouldn't be back unless you had somebody with a terrible take. Maybe it's not that terrible. But Chris Sims, you're all aware. No need to introduce him more than that. He breaks down the AFC picture for this upcoming season. His AFC teams making the playoffs are the Bengals, the Chiefs, the Jets, the Ravens, the Texans, the Browns, and the Jaguars.
Which is the biggest surprise of just of the teams, not where he has them seated to you, of that group, which is the biggest surprise team to see in that bracket?
Jacksonville
has to be, right? Yeah, has to be Jacksonville.
Because he has two teams coming out of the South, two teams coming out of the North.
Right.
Or, I'm sorry, three teams out of the North.
Cleveland, Baltimore.
Cincinnati.
And yeah, okay, wow.
He's got one team coming out of the East. He just thinks the Jets are just going to run away with it, and these other teams are just going to suck, apparently. Right. Or everybody's record's going to be like 14-3, and the Bills are going to be 13-4. Or the Dolphins. His final four are the Chiefs versus the Jets as the 2-3 game.
That'll finally give us the Rodgers. Well, Rodgers will probably be hurt.
Right. And then his 1-4 game is Cincinnati versus Houston. He has Cincinnati being the 1 seed over Houston, the 4 seed. He then has the Chiefs and Bengals playing in Cincinnati for the AFC Championship game, and he has the Chiefs losing to Cincinnati and saying the Bengals will win the AFC this year.
Okay, I mean, I appreciate him going out there and taking somebody different because, quite honestly, it would be boring if everybody just did what they were supposed to do and picked the Chiefs, right? You got to have an outlier out there. Cincinnati, I don't know if they're the answer right now. Like, I'm very lukewarm about Cincinnati. I know Ja'Marr Chase came back, but man, is that contract thing going to linger? Is that going to be a problem for him all year? Is Joe Burrow healthy? How's their defense going to be?
Yeah, defense is rough.
You know, and they're also playing in that division, guys, that I think is the best division hands down in the NFL today, and that's the AFC North. I get goosebumps talking about the AFC North because it's so awesome. Like, our division stinks. There's not a redeemable team in there except us. The AFC North has history, tradition, great colors, like the rivalries. They truly hate each other. Like, that's football. And so you're going to tell me the team that wins that division, where they're going to beat up on each other, is going to be the number one seed? I would have more of a belief, and in my opinion, there would be more credibility in it if you wanted to pick a team to be the one seed that wasn't Kansas City. Had you gone with Houston, because I don't particularly think the AFC South is interesting or good, even though he has two teams from the AFC South making it in to the postseason. If you really wanted to go out on a limb and pick a different one seed than Kansas City, to me, it has to be Houston, just based on the fact that their division is weakest and there's not going to be a lot of beating up on each other in that division.
I also find it interesting that this is now in a time where it doesn't matter if Mahomes plays the AFC Championship game at home or away. We've seen all facets of that entire game. So it's also interesting to me to have such a bold take. Look, I think Cincinnati, if their roster is there and it's healthy, which you can say that for a lot of teams, is one of the best teams, not only in the AFC, but in football.
Yeah.
But we have yet to figure out what's going to happen with Ja'Marr Chase. Now, they signed Joe Burrow, I believe, last year, like on the opening week of the NFL. And this year, I've seen
opening day. I've seen
that on X all over the place, where it's like, if you were expected to see a Ja'Marr Chase deal get done, expect it to happen today because Cincinnati did it last year with Burrow. Here we go again. And could Ja'Marr Chase get signed? That's a big story to have.
I think they do it tomorrow if you're going to do it, because today's the game. You don't want to see a standalone, all
that
kind of stuff.
Wouldn't that be like an FU from Cincinnati to the Chiefs?
Yeah, that's true.
It would be. Yeah, that's kind of what I think.
And to Baltimore.
Right?
Yeah.
You're going to unveil a banner.
Yeah.
We hate you.
Yeah.
You beat us last year. You beat us the previous year in the AFC Championship game. Baltimore, you're our rivalry in the AFC North. Why not just try to make the story about you for a short period of time so that Jack Collinsworth can talk about Ja'Marr Chase getting signed?
Yeah. Hey, Dad, did you see your former team signed our guy?
Son, it's 90 degrees. Why are you wearing that brown jacket?
Yeah, exactly.
Next-gen stats.
Yeah. God. Again, Rodney Harrison is the only person that is good on that entire pregame show. But I will say this. Cincinnati, if they do sign Ja'Marr Chase, and I don't know that they are, because history would say that they won't, right? Because they're cheap as an organization. But if they do sign Ja'Marr Chase, I think it's a bigger story than just today, because that would say, has Cincinnati actually changed who they are as an organization? And now they're willing to go out there and pay players. And that would be a break from the norm, if you will, from what Cincinnati has been for the last forever. You know, they've never really paid anybody. And you got your quarterback paid. You have to do that. But now you're going to pay a wide receiver? Huh. All of a sudden, maybe Cincinnati isn't the cheapos that they used to be. They're building an indoor facility and everything now.
Right. Not only that, but their window is closing.
Unless you're
going to get past that second wave, you got to continue to move on. And the Chiefs' window that was supposed to be closed is now open, because now they carry the fifth youngest roster in the league. They average a 25.73 age on their roster, which is just insane to go for a three-peat. And they're still one of the most, if not the most, talented roster on paper from everybody.
It's crazy. It really is insane the way that this Chiefs roster continues to turn over and continues to stay good.
Yeah, they're like Morgan.
It's hard to do.
They're like Morgan Freeman. They never age.
They never age.
Every time you look at him, you're like, this guy's been the same thing since like 1985.
It's true. Yeah. Right? Like, it's awesome to see.
Great.
I mean, that's a credit to Brett Veach.
Right.
I mean, that's a credit to his scouts and everybody that's been involved in this organization. To turn over a roster as much as you do in the NFL, basically a third of the roster turns over every single year, to keep your stars happy, to keep your stars paid, and then to supplement that talent with not just young players, but good to great young players as well.
That's right. This is Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. It is brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Speaking of MyQ, he's your Q. He's your Royals manager. It's Matt Cotrero, and he joins Bob and myself on the other side on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.